the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Good morning, Damian.
Aloha. The reason
hey,
I said that
is their saint of the day.
It's the feast day of St. Damian of Molokai. So I figured why not say aloha, right? And that's hello and goodbye, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's because they never know which way they're going. I don't know if they're coming or going.
You know what I've learned is that Hawaiian people who live in Hawaii are so patient. Mm-hmm. We were there. We were waiting for a parking spot, and we were probably waiting there for about 10 minutes, and not one person beeped. I was like, wow, these are the most patient people I've ever met in my entire life.
So you drove to Hawaii. That's unusual.
No, we rented a car. When we
got
there,
you said you were waiting for a parking spot. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you now. You'd have to be very patient if you're going by car. So
they're on island time. They live in paradise.
I'm teasing with you. Okay. Well, enough of the jesting. And we're going to go ahead and start our day with prayer in honor of St. Damian of Molokai. I like saying that. Mm-hmm. Has a nice ring to it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Damian, you minister to those in despair and isolation. I call upon you to open my heart and mind to care for the poor, the sick, the weary, and those forgotten. Bestow upon me the inner strength of faith and unconditional compassion to be a disciple of Christ. As a soldier of Christ, I come before you, a humble servant of God. Bless me with the spirit of your love and instill in me the touch of healing and grace that you yourself possessed. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Damian, amen. Pray for us.
Pray for us. We'll learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, but we're talking events in our listening area, so stay tuned. That'll be in just a few moments. Our first guest is Joshua Hochschild. Today he's going to talk about his book called A Mind at Peace, Reclaiming an Ordered Soul in the Age of Distraction. I think we all need to read this book, so we're going to be talking to Joshua about that. Matt Estrade joins us for the Peace with Dementia Rosary monthly update. So looking forward to talking to Matt. He always has some great updates, some great caregiving tips for those who are tuning in. I know a lot of people really need to hear what Matt has to say right now. And Bishop Lewis Kinnaman, he is a bishop of the Diocese of Biloxi. He joins us today to talk about his devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. So the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima is actually in 3 days, May 13th. But he loves Our Lady of Fatima, and he wants to tell everyone about it. So I'm looking forward to this. I love Our Lady of Fatima, one of my favorites. So it's going to be a great day and a great lineup of guests. Damian, looking forward to it.
Yeah, and looking forward to the weather, too. We've been blessed so far in the month of May, Mary's month. And it will be bright and sunshiny today. Highs will be close to another record of 90 degrees. The slight breeze, 5 to 10 miles an hour, but nothing to write home about. Humidity, 92%. So you're going to welcome that breeze. Temperatures around the area. Past Christiane, it's the warm spot, 77 degrees already. Covington, it's cool, as well as Mobile. Both are reporting 70-degree temperatures. New Orleans, it's 75. Home of Thibodeau, 73. Baton Rouge, it's also 73 degrees. Tomorrow, pretty much the same type of weather. If you're waiting for rain, you'll get it on Thursday. 50-50 chance of rain on Thursday. So that's your forecast. Don't go away. We have your gospel and gospel reflection and some events you're going to want to pay attention to right here on Wake Up. It's 5 after the hour.
Mm-hmm. A good Tuesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. The feast of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus walked about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
The Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, in Hebrew, was also called the Feast of Lights. It celebrated the rededication of the temple in 164 BC, after it was desecrated by Antiochus IV Epiphanes. This festival was observed for 8 days during the winter months. Solomon's portico was part of the court of the Gentiles. It consisted of 162 massive columns. It was a common meeting place where rabbis would discuss and debate points of the law. It was here, during the Feast of Dedication, that the religious leaders of the Jews challenged Jesus with a two-part question. One, do you claim to be the Messiah? And two, do you claim to be the Son of God? Jesus replied that the works he does in the Father's name has already given them the obvious answer they seek. Yes, yes, to both questions, but they remain unbelieving. In contrast, Jesus will give eternal life to those who follow him in faith. He added, "And they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand." Now, some Christians misinterpret this passage to mean a person can't lose his salvation once he accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior. This is utterly false. Now, it is true that no external power can snatch us from our security in Christ. But our free will remains. Therefore, the choice of unrepented sins like idolatry, adultery, fornication, homosexual acts, drunkenness, and stealing do separate us from the love of God, and therefore can lead to eternal damnation. And so St. Paul warned us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, because we can choose to sin gravely. But he also reminded us that God gives us the grace to resist temptations. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Father Chris Decker, it is 7:11 on Wake Up, Tuesday morning, May 10th. So glad you could join us. And there is good news coming out of New Orleans. Archbishop Amen has approved the formation of the next Diaconate Formation Group. 4 sessions will be offered to illustrate and explore the formation, life, and ministry of serving as a deacon in the church. They're called Information Nights, and an informal gathering in the evenings. Those who sense God speaking to them about the possibility of serving in ordained ministry are encouraged to come and see. And so, your attendance for the event, you're asked to bring your wives if you're married, and that is encouraged to help in the discerning process. You may choose to attend one of 4 events that are going to be taking place. The first one is tonight at Our Lady of the Lake Church in Mandeville at 312 Lafitte Street in Mandeville, Louisiana. It starts at 6:30. Again, that's at Our Lady of the Lake Church. The next one is next week, May 18th, also at 6:30 at St. Maria Goretti Church. That's on Crowder Boulevard in New Orleans. So if you need more information, it's very easy. All you have to do is call 504-861-6329. That's 504-861-6329, or pdiaconate at arch-no.org, arch-no.org. And that's where you go to get the info.
Yeah, great. Well, also in the Archdiocese of New Orleans is the St. John Paul II Award nomination. So this award recognizes the generosity and Christian stewardship exhibited by a Catholic layperson or persons of high moral character and exemplary values. In the Archdiocese of New Orleans, either they have, like, you know, they've done tons of volunteer services or different programs for the Archdiocese. So the deserving person, or it can be a couple, must exhibit not only volunteer board service, but also hands-on ministry in the community in the Archdiocese. Submission deadline is Friday, June 3rd, which is actually just around the corner. Mm-hmm. But the presentation and the award will be given at the Catholic Community Foundation's annual dinner on Thursday, October 6th at 7 p.m. at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside right there on Poydras. So if you can think of someone or you know a couple who would be great to deserve and receive this award, you can contact Pamela Richard at 504-529-3045, or you can go to ccfnola.org as well and ask to speak to Pamela about this. So great award. I know some great people who have actually received this award. So
great. Yeah, it is a great honor. That's for sure. Good works being done. Also, St. Angela Merisi, the class of 74, they're having a reunion, believe it or not, June 4th at 7 o'clock in the gym. Tickets and information, just call Cindy Rigamer, and that is at the church office, 504-427-5183. Get your socks on. If they're having it in the gym, it could turn into a sock hop before it's over with.
Those are so much fun. I love watching those.
Oh, they're even more fun when you participate instead of just watching, yeah. I can assure you.
I thought it was just for kids, but it can be for anyone, I think. Okay, for the Ignatian Volunteer Corps information session is coming up on May 12th at 12 p.m. and May 17th at 11 a.m. at the Loyola University Ignatian Chapel in Uptown New Orleans. For more information, you can call Lisa at 504-264-3438. This is a service and spirituality program for retired men and women. Based on the teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola, they will have daily mass celebrated at noon on both days. So, yep, find out more information, just call Lisa.
There you go. Okay, well, folks, don't go away because we have Joshua Hochschild coming on. He's going to tell you how you can reclaim your soul and at the same time avoid distractions, which can be easily done here in today's world. It is currently 15 after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 10th. Today we celebrate Saint Damian of Molokai. When today's saint was born in Belgium in 1840, few people had firsthand knowledge of leprosy. By the time he died, almost 50 years later, the world was more familiar with the disease and its ravages. Joseph de Vuster took the name of the 4th century physician and martyr when he entered the seminary. When his priest brother was unable to go to the Hawaiian Islands because of illness, Damian volunteered to go in his place. 2 months after arriving in Honolulu in 1864, he was ordained a priest. 9 years later, Father Damian began working at a leper colony on the island of Molokai. Initially a temporary assignment, he volunteered to remain permanently, caring for the physical, medical, and spiritual needs of the patients. Over time, the settlement grew to include the needs of patients' families as well. Morale improved, too, when Damian succeeded in getting assistance from the Franciscan Sisters of Syracuse. Eventually, Father Damian contracted leprosy, dying in 1889. Upon attaining statehood in 1959, Hawaii chose a statue of him to represent them in the U.S. Capitol. St. Damian was canonized 50 years later in 2009. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Our next guest is Joshua Hochschild, and today he's going to talk about his book called A Mind at Peace, Reclaiming an Ordered Soul in the Age of Distraction. So grab that cup of coffee, that cozy blanket, and let's talk about how to just be at peace and put that, you know, bad distraction away. So Joshua, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Gabby, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, I love talking about this because I think there's a time where we're like, okay, we're going to put away the phone, we're going to turn off the TV and really mellow down and focus on being at peace. And then boom, that one thing happens again, whether it's breaking news or something, we're back on Twitter, we're back on the TV watching the news, and we get that anxiety again. And so tell us a little bit about what your book focuses on and how we can reclaim that peace.
Well, you really put the problem well in practical terms, and it shows how intentional and I would say habitual we need to be in responding to the challenges of modern digital technology and media. It demands our attention. It's always seeking our attention, and even if you think, "Oh, I'm going to take a break from it now," it has trained our attention to wander back to it and to find it hard to take that break. And what that shows is that we need to cultivate habits that strengthen us against those temptations. And when you put it that way, you realize that the challenges, although they have a new form in digital media technology, they are new manifestations of the same old spiritual challenge that human beings have always faced, back to the Garden of Eden, that our focus and our attention can be distracted and tempted away from us, and we need to have the strength of virtue to resist it. And virtue isn't just willpower. Virtue is a kind of cultivated habit that's developed over a long time, and it's developed with the help of others and community to help us resist those temptations and keep our attention and our minds focused on God.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us some of those practical tips that you focus on in the book? Because there's always going to be something going on in our world that's going to give us anxiety, whether it's, you know, something in the news or, you know, in our community or anything like that. So what practical tips can you give us this morning?
Yeah, I mean, each chapter actually ends with a series of reflection questions. You could almost think of it as an examination of conscience, so that you can start thinking about how you personally are being most affected by these circumstances. And it's different for everybody. Someone might be addicted to social media, and so the practical tip I would give them is to choose a social media fast. It could start with maybe one day a week. You can give up social media for Lent. Or for Advent, you can make an agreement with certain friends. Hey, I'm not going to do it during these hours, and hold each other accountable. For someone else, it might be that they are binge watching television shows, and so they need to think, okay, well, what could I do to replace that? What spiritual reading could I do? Or even just picking up a good novel, and in a sense, making some rules for yourself about how much you're going to indulge in certain kinds of online activity.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I've deleted Twitter. Twitter, yeah, I think can be used for good, but it's one of the most frustrating social media apps ever, because I think a lot of people go on there to vent their frustrations and just not be kind. And so I have deleted that and only have it on my computer alone, so I'm not pulling it up constantly in case, that person that's always on the news is tweeting something and you have to see what it is and go and look at the comments because they're so addicting. But I think that it also goes back to COVID, the beginning of COVID. That was a really tough time for a lot of people. We were turning to social media. We were turning to new, trending social mediums like things like TikTok and Snapchat. We were getting our news, and it wasn't good for us when anyone can just pick up a phone and make something up and post it online. If you haven't gotten that with Facebook and Instagram, you definitely got it on those platforms at one point in time. And it makes us, the anxiety just rises as well. So, when we have that new social media platform, how important is it to kind of, assess and be like, okay, this is not good for me, especially when a family member is really struggling with something like this?
Yeah, social media is, is an incredibly challenging format. On the one hand, it appeals to something very good in us, our desire for connection, our desire for knowledge. Those are those are right at the heart of the spiritual life, right? We want to know and love other people. We want to know and love God. That's what we're built for. And you know, as you said, if these apps are used with a lot of careful discipline, it is possible to, you know, do good with and on them, and to actually feel a sense of community and to learn and deepen in wisdom. But obviously, that's not the main thing that most people use them for, and it takes an incredible amount of discipline and filtering mm-hmm. and self-control to use them that way. And you're right, because they appeal to such a deep human need, they also appeal to the most common distortions of those needs, right? With original mm-hmm. sin, our desire for knowledge is easily distracted into, you know, a disordered curiosity for knowing things that we don't need to know or that aren't important. Or that are less important than ultimate things, and our sense of connection can kind of be falsely fed by just feeling the thrill of getting in a fight with someone, or having strong opinions about who's right and who's wrong, and we get caught up in the us and them struggle of a political drama mm-hmm. that is a kind of a replacement for the spiritual drama that God is calling us to be a part of.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel good either. And that goes into the fact that you that you also reference just some of the greatest thinkers of our world and history. Plato, Aristotle, St. Augustine, and St. Thomas Aquinas are just a few of them. So how do you draw them in to the modern digital age and reclaiming that piece?
That's a great question. My co-author, Chris Bloom, and I are both philosophy professors. We're both Catholic converts. We've written academic things, but we really wrote this as a basic popular spiritual guide, as a self-help book in a way. And the reason we want to share the wisdom of ancient philosophical thinkers and of classics of the Catholic spiritual tradition is that we think that they provide the framework for thinking about this challenge. As I said at the beginning, it's a new manifestation of an old spiritual challenge. What we're talking about is how do we resist temptation? How do we develop the virtues? How do we make ourselves open to God's grace? And you know, that's never been a simple thing. It's not just a matter of willpower. You don't just wake up in the morning and decide, okay, today I'm going to be a good person. You have to practice mm-hmm. this. You have to have a kind of plan of life. And you know, and unless we totally just end all of digital technology, which isn't going to happen, we have to figure out a way to integrate it into our lives in a way that fits with our ultimate goods and not let it distract us from those goods.
Absolutely. Okay, so one thing stuck out. You're a Catholic convert. Joshua, our faith is constantly on social media. The Catholic faith especially, I think, is constantly attacked on social media, especially right now. Being a Catholic convert, how do you go about seeing something like that? And give us some practical tips. It can be really frustrating when we see those comments, you know, that are very anti-Catholic, that are attacking our faith.
Oh, that's a great question. And I'm not sure that I don't necessarily have the greatest strategy. I am on Twitter, and I'm on Twitter as a kind of public philosophy professor and Catholic, and I want to represent the Catholic intellectual tradition. And you know, it's a hard thing to do. On the one hand, I want to be clear, and I want to project, you know, the confidence of faith and the gift that it is, mm-hmm. and at the other time, you don't want to get drawn into a fight that just confirms people's worst prejudices about religion
yes.
in general, or Catholicism in particular. So at the same time, you know, it's important to show openness to questions, to project a kind of peaceful calm, a resistance to get drawn mm-hmm. into political infighting. On ultimate matters, you take a strong stand, but, you know, I don't want to get drawn into ideological battles that really are, as I put it before, a kind of substitute for the real spiritual struggle. Go ahead.
I think, Jack, because we're about to run out of time, Jesus would definitely be on Twitter. I'm just saying. You know, to reach everyone.
Yeah.
Joshua Hochschild with his book. Yeah, a mind at peace, reclaiming an ordered soul in the age of distraction. Where can we pick up a copy of your book?
It's available from any bookseller. It's from wherever your favorite online store is, and directly from the publisher, Sophia Institute Press. Thank you, Gabby.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Joshua, for joining us. I can hear that peace in your voice. So thank you so much for these practical tips.
Oh, I appreciate it. Bless you.
Absolutely. Okay, Matt Estrade is joining us in just a few moments. He has a Peace with Dementia Rosary monthly update. We're talking Sacred Heart Project updates, Jason Angelet, Father Michael Schompine, some great people. So definitely stay tuned for that interview. It is 1:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. The effects of calls for violence by abortion advocates is becoming clearer, even though far more muted than some expected. Justice Samuel Alito and his family went to an undisclosed location for their protection over the weekend. Several pregnancy centers have been vandalized and abortion advocates intruding at communion at the Cathedral of the Angels in Los Angeles were discreetly confronted and turned away. Local vigils at abortion centers point to signs of increased tension. Yet the real story is the number of Americans newly discovering reasons to oppose abortion. Yet another poll, this one from Rasmussen, found strong opinions, but a modest majority of Americans are happy to see Roe v. Wade go away. What is more striking is that this is the 12th poll over the last 3 years to arrive at a pro-life conclusion. Most Americans oppose most or all abortions. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life has a rarely mentioned but very formidable enemy. Pornography is material that deceives its consumers into thinking that they possess beauty, while the reality is they are possessed by a lie. The first step may be to talk openly with your pastor or confessor, reject the lie, and recognize that a culture of life relies upon you. The U.S. Senate votes Tuesday on a bill demanding unlimited abortion nationwide and obligation for health workers to perform abortions. As it would eliminate state and federal restrictions, it's important to contact your senators. While not expected to pass, abortion-friendly Democrats expect the action to motivate abortion voters and somehow not motivate abortion opponents in November. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Welcome back to Wake Up, 35 after the hour on a Tuesday morning. And now we have Matt Estrade, the author of Peace with Dementia Rosary, here with us as our guest to talk about his monthly update. And one of the projects he's been working on is the Sacred Heart Project. And we are actually going to find out what is the latest with he and Norman Fauché. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
Good morning, Damien. And happy Easter to everybody.
Hey,
happy
yes.
Eastertide.
You bet.
Yes.
Just had a recent art show here in the Baton Rouge area, and you were over there with Norman, right?
Yeah, I was tagging along with Norman. It was really about him and all the other artists there, but it was the second annual Catholic art showcase by the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society. So he and all their artists had their works out there on display, and his featured piece and one that he talked about in a panel discussion was the commission that we're working on called Powerful Intercessors for Dementia. And the significance is that the state in which it is right now on its way to an oil painting is it's in the drawing phase. So he has the final drawing with pencil and I believe charcoal. So he's got a beautiful preparatory drawing, it's called, because from this is sort of his practice to get all the shading and the lighting correct, get the intercessors where he wants them, how he wants them to look. And then from there, the next phase will be the final one, which is going to be the beautiful oil painting that we're expecting.
And they can go to the website, I'm guessing, to see what the drawing or the initial is looking like. I think I saw that. I don't know if it was from the art show or from your website. I can't remember.
Yeah, you know what? I need to add it to the website right now. Those folks on my private email list, that you know anybody can do for free. They've gotten that recently in one of their in their newsletters, and I'll continue to keep it in there. But I will be putting it up to the I'll be uploading it to the website soon on the and specifically the art section of the Peace with Dementia Rosary.
What has been your experience working with Norman in particular? How much input, and does he even let you have a stroke or two on the process?
You know, sometimes I don't want to mess anything up. I want the Holy Spirit to work through Norman.
Okay.
I want to have very little.
So you leave that to him.
Very little. Pretty much. And sometimes when I have something, I'm like, I pointed out one thing, which he agreed with. So. But for the most part, I try to just be patient and wait for it to happen. And it's interesting because, you know, just like with anything, I think that, you know, we want it right away. We started this in November. I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll have something by the end of December for people to get for Christmas. And, you know, here we are in May, you know, further than I thought. But, you know, this is the artistic process. And this is, We want to do this image, this painting for many reasons, and one of it was so that I and our community could see a prayer card from start to finish. So, and we know that takes time. We know good art takes time, and so we've learned patience, but also appreciated what we're learning. What we're learning along the way.
Yeah, and people can donate to this, if I'm not mistaken, right?
They can, yeah. It's a crowdfunding. We're calling it crowdfunding, like people use Kickstarter and other things. We're not using Kickstarter or any kind of website. It's just, you know, Venmo and checks and stuff like that. So yeah, we're about 55% funded right now for Norman's commission, and very excited that we're even that close. So some people have donated certain categories where they're receiving original pieces of the process. Like somebody already pledged and paid for the drawing that Norman just finished. Other people are going to buy studies of each, a close-up of each of our intercessors, and someone's already claimed and paid for St. John the Evangelist. So
nice.
Plenty of opportunities to offer anything, $5, $10, but when you get higher, then you get special artist editions of the prayer cards.
Very nice. Now, your book, Peace with Dementia Rosary, and we've touched on it a number of times, and the focal point is beyond the art, of course, and I believe you can build a relationship through art. I love sacred art. But you focus on the caregiver and helping those with dementia and with the Dementia Rosary. You have some interviews on your podcast or website with Jason Angelet, Father Michael Champagne, out of Lafayette. Share with us a little bit about what they'll find when they go and look at those interviews.
Yeah, so every month I sit down, sometimes in person, sometimes via Zoom, and interview somebody in our Catholic world, many times our local Catholic world, and we talk about dementia. We talk about chronic illness. We talk about redemptive suffering and what we can learn from it. And most recently, I think it was in February, sat down with Jason Angelet on Zoom, and we talked about his journey with Elise. Many in our audience know Jason and Elise and how she battled cancer for 6 years. He was that husband, that protector, that caregiver and father. And we talk about his journey, and it was just beautiful, just his witness to Christ and how he journeyed with her, and really, you know, to share her witness as well, that has inspired so many people. And then this past month, over at Notre Dame Seminary, I sat down in the courtyard with Father Champagne, and many of in our audience right now know Father Champagne, mm-hmm. and we talked about his ministry. Of his order, Community of Jesus Crucified, and how they attend to those who have been forgotten, those who are sick, those who are poor. And he spent 13 years as a hospital chaplain, hospice chaplain, and still to this day serves families and being there when there's a diagnosis of dementia. His own mom had a diagnosis of a diagnosis of ALS and passed away in her 60s. And she had, it's not that often, but with her ALS, it had dementia. So we talk about her journey. We talked about how he attends to families. We talked about specifically how can parish ministries, even that those health ministries, how can they journey with families impacted by dementia? And why would someone want to go see their pastor as one of those first people after they get a diagnosis of dementia or another chronic illness? So he answers these really great questions and hopefully moves people to action.
Yes, and that is a topic a lot of people are experiencing now more than ever as the population gets older and lives longer, is for those with dementia, and your book helps the caregiver, and that's the important part. What are caregivers struggling with today now more than ever? What are you finding?
So I'm finding it's that they are struggling with isolation. And that could happen. There are two ways that could happen. That could be people isolating them because they don't know how to respond to the cognitive impairment, or to respond to, they don't have words to say to the caregiver who's stressed out and burned out. So they stay away, which makes things, even worse. Or the family may isolate themselves. I don't know I don't know which proportion is which. I don't know if it's 50-50 or another percentage, but when we're in that situation, there's a temptation to isolate ourselves out of not wanting to be a burden, sometimes out of embarrassment. So it goes both ways. So it behooves all of us to reach out. If we're in that situation, I encourage people to reach out. And if people see other families, parishioners, families, neighbors in that situation, it's so important to reach out, even though it's so uncomfortable. And we talk about that with Father Champagne. Mm-hmm. We feel like we have to fix something. We have to fix the issue when we just need to be there, just show up. Those are the words he uses. He says, just show up. That's the first thing. And just your presence, just like he ties it into Mary being present at the foot of the cross. She could not fix the situation. All she could do there is be there so Jesus could see her and she could pray. But that is what that offered consolation to Jesus, seeing his mom there. So we're called to do that, even when we can't fix dementia.
Yes. Matt, where do they go to find more information and view the podcast and get more information on how to deal with dementia?
Yeah, dementiarosary.com. You'll find the book, the podcast, the videos, and the art project, and the prayer wall.
Amen. Get some prayers on there. The prayer wall, yes. Matt Estrade. We'll have more here on Wake Up.
Past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Our next guest is Bishop Lewis Kinneman. He is a bishop of the Diocese of Biloxi, and today he's going to talk about his devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. The Feast of Our Lady of Fatima is coming up on May 13th, so I think it's always a good time to talk about Our Lady of Fatima. She's one of my favorites. Good morning, Bishop Kinneman.
Good morning, Gabby.
It's good to have you with us today. Yes, and it's a beautiful day on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and the Diocese of Biloxi is always up to some wonderful things. We love getting updates from Terry Dixon in the communications office, but today we're going to talk about your devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, and from what I understand, you have been to Fatima before, so tell us about your devotion.
Yes, I have visited Fatima and really experienced the love of the Our Lady and the love of our people for Our Lady. What stands out, besides being able to celebrate Mass there and celebrate the love of God and Mary's Son, Jesus Christ, in the Eucharist, was also able to experience the Holy Rosary and the Living Holy Rosary with probably, I don't know how many people were there, but it was at least 10,000 people that were holding candles, and we did a procession with the statue of our Lady Fatima, and it was really very moving as we prayed the rosary that evening and did the litany of Our Lady of Fatima and the litany of our Lord. It was really very, very powerful. I just was deeply moved by it, and of course, as a priest, whenever whenever our own mothers die, and my mother died, probably 22 years ago now, Our Lady, Mary, the mother of Jesus, becomes our mother even more deeply. Mm. Of course, our mothers now are with her and with her son in heaven. The devotion we have as priests, especially to Our Lady, gets stronger and stronger and stronger as the years go on. So it's been quite a blessing to have that gift of life and love in my own life and my own priesthood.
My goodness, that's beautiful. There are so many depictions of Our Lady around the world, so many different devotions to Our Lady. Why Our Lady of Fatima? What drew you to her?
Well, you know, it's a combination of things, and I have to admit I'm pretty eclectic in terms of my own sense of Our Lady. So Our Lady of Lourdes is really very special to me, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Fatima, of course, and then Our Lady of Medjugorje also. So it's really each of those kind of images of Our Lady, I think, speak a part of really her love for the church and her love for the people of God and her invitation for the people of God to really come to embrace prayer, to embrace the word of her son, Jesus Christ, in the Bible, and to embrace her son, especially in the sacraments and in the Eucharist. So each of those special moments, I had a chance to visit each of those locations, and I've just found it really very moving to share in a mother's love. I guess that's the best way to describe it, and to have that mother's love always present every day in my life.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, I want to talk about your column that'll actually be published in the Gulf Pine edition for this week. And you actually talk about how Our Lady of Fatima has inspired you with reaching out to a bishop in the Ukraine, and how the Diocese of Biloxi has helped a diocese in Ukraine, and your personal relationship with this bishop. So give us details about what we can find in this column.
So Bishop Vitaly, who is the bishop of the western part of Kiev and all the little towns and things in the western part of Ukraine, he and I met at Bishop's School. It's actually a spirituality workshop that the Holy Father puts on for all new bishops over 5 years ago. And we had a chance to get to know each other a little bit during the school. And so when the war broke out, one of my priests is also close to him and was able to make connection with him. We've shared a number of FaceTime phone calls to be able to kind of connect and also see what he's having to deal with as a bishop, which is really quite stark and quite deep suffering and pain. Mm-hmm. He asked that in the very first phone call that we consecrate Russia and Ukraine to Our Lady and do that in a way that would enable peace to take place. So in the midst of all that suffering, he's been a person of deep prayer for his people and for his priests especially. And there's a story he told me that was very moving. He said, you know, the seminary that they have in the diocese was bombed, but it was actually, they just bombed the garage, which is about 100 meters away from the chapel. And there was a shard that went from that bombing, and it flew 100 meters through a window, through curtains, and hit the statue of Our Lady of Fatima. And actually, mm-hmm. It was the only thing it hit, and it blew off Our Lady's head. And he found that to be a really significant moment. And so the rector of the seminary is now going to have that statue restored and just a little mark on it to show where the shard went through. But he said it was symbolic of the need for us to continue to pray and pray the rosary, especially for peace and for the conversion of Russia and for peace in Ukraine. I was deeply, deeply moved by that, and I am noting it in my column in the Gulf Pine this coming week. You know, we reached out to them in love, so we reached out to them in support, and we reached out to them in solidarity, and we walk with them. There's been great suffering, great death, and his priests have been really yeoman men that have never left their post. Only when the Ukrainian army asked them to evacuate did they evacuate, and then they went back in with the Ukrainian army to the areas that were so badly hit. So it's been really a statement of great faith and great love of the people. So with open hearts, out of our meager means that we have here, we've offered him as much help as we can try to minister to his people. So,
Bishop,
they need a lot of
Bishop
prayer.
Kinnaman, absolutely, and we're praying for them as well. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We have about a minute left. May we ask for a blessing from you?
Okay, sure. So let's start with the prayer. Oh, my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those most needed of thy mercy. May Almighty God, love and peace come upon each of you and upon our whole world. May there be true conversion to Jesus Christ. May Our Lady lead all the people of the world to her Son for healing and peace and forgiveness to share in everlasting life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Kinnaman, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.